Okay, if you'll turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 14. Let me urge you, ladies, and I know it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. When you get on this trip, get out of your comfort zone. If there's somebody that you don't know well, or haven't got real acquainted with that's going on the trip, we have a number of ladies that are not really real involved, and so it'd be an opportunity for you to get over there and meet them and make them feel important and to just kind of form some friendships and some bonds there. And I know you seasoned ladies will do that. Maybe we can get our younger ladies to step up and do that as well. When I said seasoned, I don't mean old. We don't have any old ladies in this church, but you seasoned ladies. Okay, so here we go. Matthew chapter 14, and we will begin in verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, why Jesus chose to go to his disciples walking on the water is something we really don't know. He could have rescued them in any way, form, or fashion. He could have spoke to the storm from the mountainside place that he was having prayer. Could have stopped the whole situation any way he wanted. But he did it this way. And his actions illustrate a number of things to us. First of all, the fact that he revealed or showed them that he can do anything he needs to do to take care of his children and be there on their behalf. He's capable of acting on the behalf of his children in any way he wants to, even if it means defying the forces of the storm. You see, Jesus didn't just calm the storm or stop the storm, but actually walked on water in defiance to the power of the storm. And you and I can learn from this, just as the disciples did. There's no place that you and I can be that we cannot be reached by our Lord. There's no storm that comes into our life that he cannot calm or defy the powers thereof to take care of us as children. And that's a lesson his disciples probably learned that day, and that's a lesson that we can learn ourselves by reading this. Our lives sometimes are stormy. Sometimes they're frightening. Sometimes they're threatening, for some more than others. But there are times in our life that we're going through things that we think, oh, there's no way. There's just no way this is going to be fixed. And then there again, Jesus knows that, and he can fix it any way he wants to. But it can never be so severe that he cannot either stop it altogether or meet us in the midst of us and walk us out through it, okay, either way. So we can say, just like they said in verse 27 here, or like he said, be of good cheer, be not afraid. We need to remind ourselves of that. Now, verse 28, once again, says, And Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come into the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, we don't know exactly what Peter's motive was here. We can't read his mind. But in spite of the fact that his water walking experience was pretty short-lived, it still shows that Peter had the courage and likely the faith that most people don't. He had more faith than the other guys, and he had more courage than the other guys by just getting out of the ship. Now, we know that if you follow Peter's life, when you look through the Gospels, before Jesus had left out of here and left him with them with the Holy Spirit's power, he made a lot of blunders. As a young, enthusiastic Christian, a guy that was pretty on fire for the Lord, he had more blunders probably than all the other ones. But that also tells us something about that we should consider about Peter, is that he often had those blunders because he was putting himself in positions that other people wouldn't put themselves in. The other disciples wouldn't. I say this about the downers because but I joke about this all the time. I tell the kids, I say, we might tear a lot of things up, but we're going to get a lot of things done. And that it's because we're getting a lot of things done, we tear something up. I'm talking about injuries and tearing equipment and everything else up. And it's kind of the same principle with Peter. He has the blunders because he's doing more. He has the little hiccups and even having to be rebuked by Jesus because he's trying harder. And so he had a greater faith and a greater courage than the others had, and it caused him to get out of the boat. You think about on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was there speaking with Moses and Elijah, and Peter said, if you'll remember, he said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make thee three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Nothing about that made sense, but he didn't know. He was just excited. And the fact that he has been there tells us that Jesus had invited him, Peter, James, and John, the only three. And that tells us that he was already stronger in his faith, or he certainly was on the inner circle of Jesus. All the disciples were on the inner circle, but those three particular ones happened to have a closer relationship and were privy to certain things that the others weren't. And that, again, tells us where Peter was in his walk. He was making a lot of mistakes, but he was also very, very close to Jesus. Maybe even his faith was more advanced in spite of the fact of his mistakes. You think about this. When Peter denied Jesus at the trial before his crucifixion, we know he denied him three times. Third time, he was even cussing when he did it, okay? But three times he declared that he didn't know the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, he was in a position, he was nearer to Jesus than anybody else, because where were the other disciples? They weren't even there following Jesus. You see, so it was his faith that put him in a position that the others were not in, but yet he failed. So understand that that weak faith is better than no faith at all. And a failed faith is better than no faith at all. And so in the text here, we don't know exactly what was on Peter's mind as he suggests to Jesus that he might, you know, if Jesus bid him come, he'd come out on the water. But it might be that Peter was thinking, hey, I'd rather be with Jesus in the midst of the storm than without him back here in this boat. It very well could be what he was thinking. And so he got out of the boat. He steps out. Verse 30 tells us, it says, "And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me." Peter had the faith to get out of the boat and onto the stormy water, but he didn't have enough faith to carry him across the water. Now, there's a lot that we can learn from that. One, faith is strengthened. All of our faith is strengthened by being exercised, right? If you don't exercise your faith, it's not going to be strengthened. When we are challenged by something that requires us to step out of our comfort zone and do something uncomfortable, something fearful, something causes us to be concerned about whether we can do it or not. I can't think of the term I'm looking for, but to be hesitant to try it because of the potential for failure. If that's requiring our faith to be stretched, okay? And when we're challenged by something that requires us to step out in faith and we refuse to do it, then our faith goes nowhere, okay? It doesn't grow. it doesn't get stronger because we refuse to take the challenge, if you will. When our faith is challenged and we act upon it, that stretches our faith and causes us to grow with each stretch, if you will. For example, tithing. Tithing is an act of faith. It's an act of obedience, of course, but it's an act of faith. When we first learn to tithe, when we first act on that, act in obedience to that command, that's a huge challenge, okay? It's a big step of faith. But then as we do it over time, we tithe month to month and year to year, and we become accustomed to being faithful with that, then it's not stretching our faith anymore. We're exercising our faith every time we do it, okay? We're staying healthy, and it the repetition of being faithful is a good thing, okay? Repetition of being obedient is good. And our faith can stay healthy from a monetary standpoint or whatever, but it's not taken to the extreme anymore. You see what I'm saying? We're just tithing, and it's just consistent. Sometimes God will allow us to have a new opportunity for obedience. Maybe He allows an opportunity to be brought before us for us to be stretched further in that area. Maybe something would come up that He lays upon our heart to do monetarily or for missions, whatever. I don't have anything in mind here. I'm just saying that causes us to just take it a step further. Man, I don't know about that, right? But it's that new challenge, that something beyond what we're already doing, that strengthens our faith, okay? The situation that lays before us will test us. And when we pass the test and we step out and are obedient in that, then our faith is being stretched, and being stretched to an extreme will make it a stronger faith, okay? Standing in the boat, seeing Jesus out on the water during the storm, challenged Peter, okay? We have to remember that Peter was a professional fisherman. He had seen a lot of storms on the sea, I'm sure. He had been through a lot of them, and obviously by being there, he survived them all thus far, okay? So Peter had a pretty good command of what needed to be done while on the boat, okay? Not saying that he wasn't a little bit scared or fearful, but he would have been probably as strong or courageous as anybody on the boat just simply from his experience, okay? But he'd seen his share of storms and survived them. But that was from within the boat. That was what was familiar. That was what he was used to doing, okay? He at least at that time had the boat its relative safety. I mean, it wasn't completely safe, but it was safer than being out in the water, okay? He had that to fall back on. But to look out and see Jesus out there, however far he was, it must have been a decent distance, because the Bible's telling us last week, we studied those words, that they were having to look intently, trying to make out what was going on out there on the water when they were seeing him. And remember, he was walking parallel to the, we studied that as well, he's walking parallel to the course of the boat. He wasn't coming to them, okay? And so, it's a total different challenge to Peter, for him to step out of that boat. This opened up a completely new situation, an opportunity for him to exercise his faith. And I want you to notice what it says in verse 29. It says, and Jesus said to him, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Where was Jesus? He was out there a decent ways. So Peter was to leave the relative safety of the boat, his comfort zone, and move away from what was comfortable to him, what he was used to. He's ever trained mariner in the world knew that you stay with the boat as long as you can, okay? And he leaves that conventional wisdom alone, and he goes to Jesus, which is away from the boat. That's counterintuitive to him. That's not at all what comes natural to Peter's mind. He was doing something unlike he had ever done before, something different than he was trained to do. Stay with the boat, Peter, is what training says. Faith says, go to Jesus. So he stepped out and he did it. It was a step of faith. But, as we see in the next verse, taking his eyes off Jesus and putting them on the storm again, he began to sink. And then he cried out to Jesus for help. Verse 31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto them, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, O thou of no faith. He says, O thou of little faith. His faith had been exercised, folks. Not to the extreme, probably, but it was exercised. Weak faith is better than no faith. I believe this, when it was all said and done, this is just me thinking out loud, okay? I believe this, when it was all said and done, and Peter had an opportunity to review what happened, reflect on his mistake of taking his eyes off Jesus and looking through the storm, I believe after all of that was taken in by Peter, if given the same opportunity again, I think he would have succeeded to walk all the way out to Jesus. Why? Because I think his faith was strengthened by this. I truly believe that. Because when we exercise our faith and we fail and we recognize what caused us to fail, then our faith is strengthened for the next time that comes around. I won't make that mistake again. Next time, I'm not going to look at the storm. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, okay? I believe he would have succeeded and made it out to Jesus without sinking. His faith was exercised by this first incident, and it would be made stronger, and given another opportunity, it would probably have been successful, okay? And when we exercise our faith in any area of life, it strengthens it, okay? Even our failures can be useful for propelling us forward in the future, okay? So we shouldn't get discouraged by our frailty. Now, obviously, we don't want to fail. But failing when you're exercising your faith is better than not exercising your faith at all. You see what I'm saying? I think that the message here, okay? Did Peter walk all the way out to Jesus on the water? No, he sank. But he did take more steps on the water than any other man besides Jesus, right? That means something, okay? He left there with a stronger faith. Verse 32 says, and when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. This is very interesting. Notice it says nothing about Jesus calming the storm. You know, there's another instance over in Mark chapter 4, if you'll remember, the storm came upon them and Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship asleep. And remember, they got frantic and they woke him up and said, Master, we perish. And he said, peace be still. And the storm stopped. He spoke it. He just stopped. Well, okay, it doesn't say anything like that in this. The ordeal just stopped. The moment he got Peter and got him in the boat, the ordeal, the whole situation just stopped, okay? We don't want to read anything into this, but it seems like it's like mission accomplished. He's in the boat. The storm just, I don't need this storm anymore. And it just stopped. The whole situation seemed to be designed to strengthen the faith of his disciples, especially Peter's, okay? I don't know. Maybe I'm reading more into it than is there, but it seems like it to me. And I've never thought about it until I studied this out. As much as Jesus was on the mountain, or what it spoke of a mountain, a private, secluded place, praying for his disciples, probably interceding for them in every area of life, okay? But it could be that the whole storm came about as a result of him being in communion with his Father and knowing that the disciples need a strengthening of their faith. Who knows? Okay. Don't know whether it works that way or not, but it sure makes sense to me. Okay. All right. Appreciate you guys. And we will stand and be dismissed and look forward to seeing you back here on Sunday. Okay. Ladies, we want you to have a really good time and behave yourself. Okay. Don't go down there and get in the dance halls or the gambling places, things like that. Okay. Don't smoke, Patsy. Okay. All right. Here we go. Landon, will you lead us in prayer, please, sir?